All right, here we go. Just to rewind a little bit and go back a few months, we mentioned here that there were going to be all kinds of different attacks on organized sentient society and governmental mechanisms, societal issues. It's not just coming from the bioweapons industry, which of course is probably the most lethal without question. Maybe the military, if a nuclear war were to be popped on us, but we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, our food is all that is really keeping us alive and reasonably healthy. And of course, our food, as you all know, is largely devoid of any reasonable nutrition and loaded with toxins. It's actually poison in many respects. And if you don't believe me, look at what children are eating for candy now. I'm surprised that stuff doesn't glow in the dark. It's incredible, the amount of toxicity in it. We've got food issues again. You remember during the past year or so, over 100 major, two modest-sized food manufacturing facilities in the United States were burned down. These are all arson. I don't know why people can't see it, but it was arson, 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 trying to begin to set the stage for famine. Now, when you add in fear of food, which really ought to be a factor in our society, because food is very dangerous, just like water is now that comes out of your tap, you got people who are ready to be pushed in any direction you want. Fear. Fear is the ultimate controller, and it is rampant now. We've got another story we're going to bring you in just a moment or so. Hello, young lady. Welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be back.
You sure about
Although
that?
I never went away.
I didn't think so. All right. This is tough. What we do is difficult. It's not fun to go through this kind of information day in and day out. It must be done. It's a great privilege to do it and to have your trust and respect. That's why we do it, because we can. And we see other people in the alt news media who are obviously salacious frauds, and I'm being polite. They're throwing garbage out there nonstop, mixed in with truth, mixed in with real science. That's what makes it really chaotic. That's what they want. They want chaos. The newest variant of the so-called COVID virus is the Eris, the goddess of chaos, E-R-I-S. So there it is. They tell us. They always tell us in advance. All right, we've got a story about ground beef. It's actually a two-part story. The first part is out of the Daily Mail, which often has more good information about the U.S. than the U.S. media does. Nearly 30 tons of ground beef, see, I'm not a meat eater, so it doesn't bother me, sold in three states is recalled due to fears, doesn't say proof, it says fears, it's contaminated with E. coli. Now, if they're pulling 30 tons of ground beef, that's hamburger, off the shelves because they think it might have E. coli, I see no evidence of proof. I think a lot of these are actually insurance scams. You follow?
Mm.
It's too easy. It's too easy.
Yep.
Well, we're insured at, you know, double the cost or whatever. So they do that. At any rate, 30 tons of hamburger have been pulled off the shelves over E. coli fears. Now, there's a worse story that Eric is going to tell us about right now up in Canada. Go ahead.
Yeah, evidently in the province of Alberta, Calgary, there is a very large outbreak of children who are sickened now by E. coli 0157. That's the pathogenic one. I think to the tune of almost 400 kids at this point. They haven't determined the source of the infection, although all of the kids seem to have been involved in some kind of daycare facilities. And there was a kitchen that was servicing all of these various daycare facilities. So they believe...
A central kitchen?
The outbreak, yes. Some central facility that was preparing the food for these
Got
locations.
It.
Mm-hmm. However, they still, even upon testing this facility, have not been able to turn up any of this particular strain of E. coli.
Were there
so
any
the kitchen
Chinese employees?
Well, Well, you know, what comes to mind, though, is these plasmids that have been found in these vaccines that a good portion of the population was either coerced or forced into taking. How is that altering the microbiomes of the people who have received them? Because these plasmids were grown in E. coli. So they would be readily uptaken and...
Yep.
And, you know, it may be connected, it may not be, but, you know, the fact that they haven't been able to find the source of the infection, and it can spread from person to person. Children are most at risk, along with the elderly. And the danger of this type of E. coli infection is it can cause a type of anemia that is so severe it can really damage the kidneys.
Four of these kids are on dialysis.
Yeah,
at least four.
Yeah, the treatment, a knee-jerk reaction, would be to think that, well, just give them some antibiotics. But when you give antibiotics, in the case of E. coli, you almost guarantee that you're going to make the infection a whole lot worse. So you have to just... you know, provide supportive care and let it run its course and, you know, hopefully the kid recovers without too much damage. But that's fairly serious. Now, they thought they had turned the corner on it and were starting to reopen some of these daycare centers. But then a whole bunch more kids turned up with this infection. So they're not
wave.
Under control. Yeah, second
wow.
wave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's
not
a
good.
Story to watch, yeah.
So many ways to get panic sown in the public. It's you know, these parents are working, obviously, most of them, and they drop their kids off, and they're trusting these places to guard their children with their lives. And it's not the way these facilities usually work. They're employees putting in time, most of them.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones, but no, I would never even imagine, and I know some people have to, I get that, putting my child in a daycare facility, even with a babysitter, I wouldn't do it. No, not for me. Okay, we've got a couple of other stories here that are very important, but since we're talking about different ways to impact the public in terms of health, wellness, psychological wellness, it's all related. There's a very interesting little video here. It's 5 minutes long. I'm going to play it, and it relates to the big picture of how they have come so far down the road of advanced science technology now in terms of impacting and affecting our lives, our welfare, our happiness, our minds, our thoughts. Now, this young lady is going to read a list of patents. Now, remember, patents are not necessarily proof of absolute efficacy and deployment, but they are the registration of, in most cases, a viable technology that the patent filers feel must be protected. It's all about money, of course. Anyhow, this is interesting. When you hear some of these patents, I think you're going to be stunned. This is science fiction in real time, and it's already out there. Here we go.
Fell down while researching information for our previous video. Our previous video was about how your television is literally like a patented weapon device to like brainwash you, basically. And while researching that patent, I unknowingly, to me at the time, fell down like an insane rabbit hole. It's just nuts. So we're going to talk about it, but or they're going to take this video down. So this video... strictly for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this video should be considered factual. And let's just say the whole video is scripted. Okay, hopefully that's good enough. Now let's get into it. So on the own website, I was looking up the specific patent for our previous video. And I came across a list of all the current directed energy weapons that the is using against us. Without our knowledge, obviously.
CIA.
I didn't consent to any of this. Let me know if you guys did, but I highly doubt it. So
CIA.
I'm going to point out a few that I think are, like, the most worth pointing out. And then at the end of the video, I'm going to include, like, an entire patent list of every patent that I found. And you guys can go look up you know, the information on your own. So make sure you stick around to the end of the video, because like I promise, there's so many on there that you're gonna wanna go look it up. All right, now let me show you what I'm talking about. So here's the list, and at the top, in that blue like bar right there at the top, it literally reads directed energy weapons / targeted individual patents. So
this list came off the CIA website.
Patents that they took out on targeted individuals. And just in case you didn't know, anybody can become a targeted individual, like, at any time, whenever they deem it necessary. Now, let's go over a few of these. Mind you, every single one I'm talking about is its own directed energy weapon. All right, so here's the patent number for what I'm talking about right up here. You can always go look this up for yourself. I always encourage that. This patent is for remotely transmitting intelligible subjective sounds into a target's consciousness, or they call it voice to skull. That's cute. Love your little nicknames, bro. So basically, for those of you who don't speak government, remotely transmit subjective, intelligible sound into target consciousness basically means that they're going to be able to remotely, not from anywhere near you, but from like a faraway location, be able to put a certain sound into like a specific person's brain or consciousness, like whatever person they want, whenever they want. Or like a thought or whatever, and you would think it's organic. Patent number is used for subliminal manipulation of a subject's emotions via remotely directed audio waves. Or, in other words, they can make you feel whatever frickin' way they want to just by manipulating some audio waves around you. This next one is really fucking trippy, dude. So, for patent number, this one is called the ventriloquist effect. And it makes a voice emanate from individuals who did not intend to release it. Or, in other words, it can make you talk when you didn't mean to. The fucking ventriloquist effect. Like, who comes up with this shit? Or how about this next one? Okay, put the patent number up there. This patent can control your brain state by placing engineered EMF patterns into the AC wiring of buildings. I fucking shit you not, dude. And don't look up this next patent if you ever want to be able to go to the dentist again without being horrified. Because this patent is for an oral electronic tracking device that can be implanted in teeth, dentures, or braces. And then this patent can induce whatever desired emotional state through EMF patterns. For instance, sleepiness or arousal. Anything they want you to feel. Or how about this next patent? Yet another nickname. They call it the rock the baby sensation. And it remotely causes the subject to feel their body swaying. Like they just experienced an earthquake or something. This next one, I think we all knew it existed, but this patent controls human brain waves by superimposing hidden phrases into music signals. I mean, I already knew they were doing that, but you know, if you want to see the patent that proves it, there it is. Okay, these next two really f***ed me up. So this patent can remotely monitor your heart rate and perspiration through the use of directed EMFs. Yeah, you heard me right. And after I tell you this one, you guys like are never going to touch your phone again, but check this. This next patent is, of course, for your phone. It doesn't exactly say that, but I mean, come on. It's for monitoring vital signs of a subject via a remote application of radar waves through a handheld device. So your phone. And then this patent is just for some good old dream alteration. Like, literally, your own fucking dreams aren't even your own, dude. And here's, like, the, like, directed energy weapons that we know are, like, regular directed energy weapons, right? Here's the proof of them. Got the patents and everything. So this patent number allows for extremely precise aim of particle beams, a.k.a. lasers, over distances of up to several thousand miles. And then this patent number just, like, helps that because it's an imaging device that improves the aim of directed energy weapons. Because, of course, they want to, like, be able to see the target before they, like, blow it up, right? Because we all know they don't want to hit Oprah's property or anything. I'm just saying. At this point, the disclaimer's not going to be good enough. I swear they're going to take this shit down. Y'all are probably going to have to go to my YouTube or Facebook to watch this. Okay, but wait, listen to this next one. This helps monitor and determine undesirable behaviors in humans via wireless microphones in vehicles, personal property, and homes. So, like, this is a patent to bug my home, basically, and listen for undesirable behaviors. Well, then,
I guess I should start checking my house for bugs, because...
And then this patent is a method that helps them monitor community mood by remotely monitoring voices, texts, and biometrics.
So basically, at any time, they can just be like, how's this community feeling about me today? Are they listening to Katie too much?
And then this next patent is an X-ray inspection device that can sense the presence of humans within structures, within your home. They know where you are. Again, I'm going to ask, did anybody consent to this shit? I don't think so. And then you're going to say, okay, Katie, I know, but, like, they're not using this stuff all the time, right? Like, it's only for targeted individuals, only at some times, right? Nope. Listen to this last patent that I have for you. This patent number is for the power system, and it is to maintain the directed energy weapons in a ready state. Or, in other words, so they never have to power down.
So they're always powered up and ready to go. It's just a few, and these were taken off the CIA website, according to Katie here. I apologize about the language. It's very hard to get around it anymore. Everyone seems to talk that way, to be cool or whatever. But the information there was very important. And there's much more than that. That's just a little skim off the top to give you an idea. That's where your tax money goes. Oh, other than Ukraine, of course.
Shocking.
It doesn't make you feel better. The idea.
Some of these patents,
I
looked at the date on the patents. They're going back to the 1980s, probably.
Right.
That was the oldest one I found.
Correct. When I began this program in 1994, that was the first time I entertained the idea and presented it that electrical wiring in your home, in your office, wherever, all electrical wiring was able to emit various frequencies that had definite direct controls on the physiological processes of anybody nearby. The electrical wiring in your home can be used to carry any kind of frequency. They can go a mile down the road and tap into the transformer on your power pole and hit every residence and every building after that point and thereon with whatever frequency they want. Comes right through your walls, right through your lamp cables, your television cables, whatever. It's all there. So it's they're already able to do science fiction amounts of control on masses of people. You heard the one, they can monitor entire communities, apparently, for general thought processes. This is like, what's his name? Giordano was talking about 10 years ago, or nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Crazy stuff. So, again, I'm sorry about the language. It's not my cup of tea, but that's the way it is these days. Okay. Next up, we have very interesting testimony in the South Carolina Senate by Dr. Karen DeVore. Tell us more.
This is another clip from this testimony that was took place last week, on pandemic preparedness. It was the State Senate of South Carolina, and she is a dermatologist who was giving her testimony as to what she's been experiencing in her practice.
30 years.
She's been a dermatologist for 30-plus years, so she's, you know, a veteran when it comes to the medical system and caring for patients. So the first part of her testimony, which was about 15 minutes or so, was regarding the prohibition on the use of things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, something that she'd used extensively in her practice, and then was not allowed to use it during COVID without being interrogated, or the pharmacies would just refuse to fill it. These are other individuals who are complicit in all of this. It's these pharmacies that even in given a prescription by a doctor will not fill the prescription.
They're doing that right now as we speak, by the way. Pharmacies all over the country are refusing to fill ivermectin prescriptions, even though it's 100% legal. They're still not doing it. Now, we did play that clip from Dr. DeVore in our last program. You can hear her talking about how she prescribed ivermectin off-label use all of a sudden when COVID came around. No more. So it was very interesting.
Okay. I don't think we played that.
You
might have listened to it. We didn't play that, no. But for those that are interested, that's the first 15 minutes. The second 15 minutes that we're going to play is her describing all of the strange, bizarre health issues that she's now seeing in her patients ever since the vaccines were rolled out.
Good. Actually, it's only about 4.5 minutes total. Here we go with Dr. Karen DeVore. Come on, Karen, say something.
Well, some patients trusted the government agencies. Let me tell you how that's turned out so far. In the last 2.5 years, since the vaccine has been widely promoted, and many patients have taken it out of fear and isolation, the patients who took the vaccine still get COVID. And now I see patients, and I could not believe the attorney who spoke this morning said he had heard the same thing, because in 30 years of practicing dermatology, I've never heard people describe their symptoms this way. I am itching from my bones out. I am on fire from the inside. I see the most unusual rashes, and they don't respond well to treatment, and they last for months or years. I see previously well-controlled autoimmune diseases like psoriasis and eczema and lupus now totally out of control. I see aggressive, severe shingles. It is more painful, it is lasting longer, and this is even in those who've had the shingles vaccine. I see rapidly growing skin cancers, including basal cells that are just supposed to be traditionally very slow growing. I see squamous cells, cutaneous squamous cells that are metastasizing much more often than they ever did before. And melanomas have become so unusual and much harder to diagnose. They are much more advanced at presentation. And I have to biopsy more and more things, and it's all in vaccinated patients. And then beyond my field, patients that I've seen regularly for 6 to 12 months, for every 6 to 12 months for 30 years, they're aging more rapidly. They've got unhealthy weight loss, their balance is bad, they're falling, they're black and blue, they can't get on an exam table.
30 years, every 6 to 12 months, seeing many of her patients at that interval. And all of a sudden, they're aging terribly right before her eyes. Now, we've talked about this before. This is a factor. This is one of the results of the original series of COVID injections. And if you remember, in our last program, we played a clip. The CDC and Governor Hochul in New York, most specifically, are saying that thank you very much for getting all those shots, your 5 or 6 shots. We appreciate that. But none of those shots do anything anymore. They are now all worthless. You're going to have to start over with this brand new COVID vaccine. So the joke's on everybody who took the 5 or 6 shots, or however many they took, lost family, friends, children, jobs. The joke's on them, and they're making fun of it. All right.
And you see their medical updates since they were in, and they've had atrial fibrillation, pacemakers, heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, DVDs, pulmonary embolism, Parkinsonism, ALS, tremors, nerve palsies, miscarriages, infertility. Did I mention aggressive, new onset cancers, recurrent stage 4 cancers after 20 years of remission? I know 4 people in one small zip code in Spartanburg that have rare leukemias. 3 of 4 of them are dead now. In over 30 years of medical practice, I've probably only known 1 or 2 people who had Lou Gehrig's or ALS disease. And they were distant and not really, you know, 3rd or 4th contacts. I now know 3 people in my immediate range of contact. I know a small middle school in the lower part of the state where 3 14-year-olds are struggling for their life with cancer. I went until I was in med school before I had a classmate that died of cancer. I've got 4 kids who went through school and college and graduate school, and not a single one of them knew of a classmate that died of cancer. A week ago, I saw a 60-year-old man who was previously healthy, working full-time, got the two vaccines, one booster, 3 months later diagnosed with his first cancer, bladder, second cancer, prostate, third cancer, stage 4 lung. Am I to believe that's just coincidence? I can't turn a blind eye to this and pretend I don't see it. I can't ignore the elephant in the room these past few years. The vaccines have changed the whole medical landscape. People are suffering, and I think they're dying needlessly. The medical field, its boards, hospital protocols, pharmaceutical industry, CDC, FDA, DHEC, NIH, all have been publicly discredited. I don't know if we can regain public trust. I pray to God we can. I urge you today to stand up for medical freedom, for patients, for physicians. Please do not allow vaccine mandates that have little safety data while harassing patients who have other effective treatments. Remember, it is our Hippocratic oath to first do no harm.
Good job, Dr. DeVore. We will get to the point. I think where doctors will all stop using the term vaccine and vaccination. These are weapons turned against humanity. They're bioweapons. And everybody who's studied this now, at this point in time, if they're being honest, knows that to be 100% the truth.
Yeah, you have to have your head in the sand at this point and to not see it.
Are you there?
There are so many vax injured. Yes, yes.
Were you talking? Because I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I just said you have to have your head in the sand not to see this.
Oh, it's
for what it is by now.
Yeah. Now I have a short in this system somewhere. Good. It doesn't make it any easier, though, when they continue to call them vaccines, because that's a subliminal approval, in a way, of this technology that is anything but a vaccine. It's not a vaccine.
I think I heard something that the CDC has now revised their terminology for these things. They're calling them a treatment now.
Oh, really? Is that just today or recently?
Yes, I believe that's the new word.
Okay, well, they don't want to use boosters, so we've been corrected on that. It's a new vaccine. So now it's not an injection, it's a treatment, which
I guess
is a little closer. It's closer to the gene therapy, which therapy
right.
usually has a good connotation. But in this case, it's a genetic destroyer. It's deadly.
Yeah, it's...
yeah.
It really isn't good for anything other than destroying somebody's physiology.
Shortening their life for openers, and then we've got dozens of different pathways for the spike, and God knows what else is actively at work in there, to take the human health of the subject, the victim, and destroy it. And that's what's happening. All right, here's Dr. William Mackis now on turbo cancers. We've got a little clip on that. Anything you want to suggest on this one?
No, I'm sure most people know by now, William Mackis is a oncologist, radiologist, so he's,
knows
you know,
stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go.
There's a very strong push by the medical authorities to deny that this phenomenon exists. And so you've got these poor patients that are coming down with these turbo cancers, you know, they've been COVID vaccinated. You know, they'll show up at their oncologist, and their oncologists struggle just to manage the cancer. There's no research being done around this. And that's the other shocking part is that there's just no research being done. And so when these cancers, you know, when they're being managed by the oncologists are hitting it with your, again, your standard treatments, your standard chemotherapy regimens, your standard radiation therapy regimens. They fail. The patient dies after a few months. And that's the end of the story. You know, there should be research being done in all of these cases. Why are we struggling with these cancers? What is different about them? And the research is just not being done. Doctors, as I mentioned, doctors are being threatened. Implicitly or explicitly, implicitly, the threat is that you don't do anything that would cause vaccine hesitancy. And so you've got pathologists that are not doing proper autopsies. You've got cancer researchers who are not doing cancer research because they're afraid for their own licenses and for their own jobs. Right now, doctors, and I can tell you, especially in Canada, but I see it happening in the United States as well, doctors right now are just desperate to keep their mouth shut and keep their jobs, keep their academic positions in the universities, because if they speak up, they're being stripped of their academic positions, they're being stripped of their labs. So you've got doctors like Dr. Ryan Cole in the United States, pathologist. They've gone after his lab, pathology lab. Dr. Byron Bridle, virologist in Canada, who actually did the Freedom of Information request that gave us the Japanese study, the biodistribution study from Pfizer, that told us that the lipid nanoparticles are going all over the body and they're depositing in the various tissues. He's been locked out of his lab by his university. And so there's an attack on anybody who tries to do any kind of research. So that's why in terms of the turbo cancers, we are flying completely blind here. And other than Professor Daglish, a senior oncologist in London in the United Kingdom, he's sounding alarm about these turbo cancers. Dr. Ryan Cole in the United States, Dr. Peter McCullough, of course, in the United States, who's at the forefront of all types of, you know, vaccine injuries and raising the alarm. And myself, you know, I'm speaking out about it here in Canada, and a few other doctors, you know, other than the handful of us, it's being completely ignored by the medical establishment.
Which to me raises a lot of important questions, but, you know, one of which is that if they're denying this, they're, in a sense, they're knowingly allowing people to die. And they're withholding information that could save people. If they put the full force of their research and their grants into developing, say, new ways of treating these turbo cancers, as an example, or if they started to even warn people and make this information public and saying, look, you know, there is a chance that your third booster might cause a cancer that will kill you within a month, right? I think that they are in a position to save people's lives, yet they're not. And this seems to be a theme throughout this pandemic, especially, right? I mean, and even going, you know, deeper into history, looking at the history of Monsanto and Bayer and, you know, the big, you know, pharmaceutical companies. And I mean, it seems like there's a pretty common theme of corruption and, you know, profit over human life that takes place at that level. But why do you think these doctors, the hospitals, the medical journals, and then getting into the bigger organizations that I think probably pull a lot of the strings, why are they not acknowledging this? Do you suspect that there is some sort of level of intent to cause harm, or is it about profit because they're going to make money treating these cancers? Or I know it's more speculation, but what do you think might be behind this?
You know, that's a complex question, but, you know, you hit the point, I think, which is a key point, in that this is this vaccine injury denial, which is what it is. It's a complete denial that these things are happening. It's happening across the board with all kinds of vaccine injuries. And so even something as straightforward as myocarditis, where there's tremendous amount of evidence of myocarditis happening in young people, men and women, and then that myocarditis leading to sudden cardiac arrest and collapses, whether you're sleeping early morning hours, as Dr. McCullough points out, you know, you get a bit of a surge of adrenaline, and that seems to be the initiating factor for the sudden arrhythmia that leads to sudden cardiac arrest, or the athletes collapsing in the field. All types of athletes, you know, amateurs, professionals, even doctors who are athletic and who, you know, are triathletes. I have three Canadian doctors, triathletes, who collapsed while doing some kind of physical activity and died. One of them was an Olympian, 50-year-old Dr. Paul Hanneman, emergency doctor in Toronto, who went for a jog, an Olympic athlete, collapsed and died of sudden cardiac arrest. Had to be fully vaccinated to keep his job. So there's an overall blanket denial on vaccine injuries, the seriousness of them. And the problem with that is that And what's so frustrating to me as a physician, and I'm sure to other physicians as well, is that if you're denying the seriousness of a problem, then you're not looking for solutions.
No, you're part of the problem. All right, that's Dr. William Mackus. We have another clip about teachers being decimated by aggressive turbo cancers. Want to set this one up?
Yeah, I believe it's part of the same interview with this interviewer is Seth Holhouse. He goes by Man in America on Rumble. So they were talking in this segment about all of the teachers, many of them young, that were forced to take these injections to keep their job, and now many of them are developing aggressive turbo cancers. And he did write a, I think it was a Twitter post or a Substack on that in the last week or so.
Okay, very good. Let's see what he has to say here.
It's fascinating because oncologists are not expecting these cancers to grow this quickly. And you'll see these testimonials when people, usually they'll put, they'll establish GoFundMe pages to help them with expenses, especially in the United States, you know, there's expenses associated with cancer care. And they'll tell the stories that my oncologist was shocked by the rate that, you know, my tumor grew. Or the oncologist will be preparing a treatment plan for them, you know, surgery and potentially chemotherapy. And while they're preparing the treatment plan, the cancer's grown even further, much more quickly. And then the oncologists are scrambling to change their treatment plan to adjust for these very aggressively, rapidly growing cancers. And usually the oncologists can't keep up with the cancer itself. Even if they start chemotherapy, it may work only partially or it may not work at all. So another feature of these cancers is that they seem to be resistant to conventional chemotherapy and radiation therapy. And that's another feature I noticed that was very unusual. And so these cancers have been called turbo cancers. It's not a medical term. It's not a term anyone will find in the literature. And I get thrown that, you know, by the naysayers that they'll say, well, look, turbo cancer as a term doesn't exist in the literature. Well, yes, it's a brand new phenomenon and hasn't been named yet. It is barely being even studied. In fact, you know, doctors are being threatened and they're being discouraged from even acknowledging the existence of these turbo cancers after COVID vaccination. And so, you know, the article that you showed, I've written about 20 articles about turbo cancers so far. It's based on anecdotes that I'm seeing at the ground level, individual stories. And, you know, when you see a young 30-something-year-old woman present with, you know, stage 4 breast cancer that claims her life within 6 months. That's something you're supposed to see maybe once or twice in your career. You know, these are supposed to be very rare stories. I'm not supposed to be able to collect dozens and dozens of these stories. And of course, you know, these individuals are all vaccinated. They've all been forced to take COVID vaccines to keep their jobs. And so I've published about doctors coming down with these turbo cancers, nurses. That article was picked up by Vigilant Fox and, you know, got a very wide viewership. Recently, I focused on teachers. And, you know, there's other vaccine-mandated professions where I'm seeing an explosion of these cases, police officers, firefighters, military, and so on.
Okay. Inclusive in that. Longer, it's an over an hour interview, are the teacher issues. It's the same story, though. Teachers dying very quickly. Now, we presented this quite a while back. It's critical to understanding why these turbo cancers are exploding. The body has, and I'm going to let Eric explain this, but your body has certain lines of defense, mechanisms that are anti-cancer, they're tumor suppressing. One is the P53. You've heard that many times. There are others. This bioweapon goes into the body and disables, if not destroys, those anti-cancer natural defenses you have. Tell us more.
Well, the P53 is a big one. That's a protein that tells the cell whether whatever damage it has incurred can be repaired, or if the cell needs to die, self-destruct, and be eliminated. So when that protein isn't working properly because it's bound up by the spike or isn't being produced because the spike is blocking the transcription of it, that's a major cancer defense. But on top of that, we have T cells that are roam around the body and surveil cells to see whether they look like they've been infected by a virus or a pathogen, or if they just look funny, like maybe a cancer cell, it's not acting right. It's the T cells' job, these killer T cells, to eliminate those cells. So they become exhausted having to constantly deal with cells that are producing a spike protein. They're just worn out over time. They become depleted, so that's another line of defense. And then the nanoparticles themselves, the lipids, induce DNA damage, oxidative stress. So that right there can turn a cell cancerous. You have depletion of NAD, so you cannot activate or repair your DNA. You have a cells that are starved of oxygen because of the microclotting going on. And then in response to the low oxygen, you have vascular endothelial growth factor, which provides blood vessels for a growing cancer. So there's multiple
checkpoints. A lot of cancers, that's important. A lot of cancers are vascularized. All right, they're actually being fed by your blood supply.
Mm. Well, in the presence of this vascular endothelial growth factor, which is a natural response of the body when there's low oxygen, it's going to make more blood vessels to try to get oxygen into an area where there's blocked blood vessels.
Right.
So that's something that cancer needs and loves to have in order to grow. And then, we've talked about the spike protein possibly being a kisspeptin mimetic, which, again, this is something that's involved in controlling for cancer. So the list is long. But as Dr. Mackis said, no money is going in towards trying to get to the bottom of this. So we're just left to guess.
And by the time money is appropriated, most of the people who are going to be removed from the planet will have been deleted. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
You got six.
These are very convenient stall tactics.
Six and a half billion people. Total stall tactic. Perfect term. 6.5 billion people have been injected with this crap. Not all Pfizer, not all Moderna, but similar, if not Pfizer and Moderna. They're on the way out, according to the CCP. There are so many ways the body can be redirected and reconfigured to die. And that's what bioweapons do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There's another one, a story that Dr. Mackis put out briefly, has to do with the, and we were on this early on, the transplant industry. Now, people who have myocarditis have heart damage. That's a given. And the heart does not reconstitute itself, nor does the brain. The only two organs in the body that don't. So when you have heart damage or brain damage, that you're stuck with it. So a lot of the hearts of young people especially are being apparently so vigorously and viciously assaulted that they're dying. They're failing. So they are prime candidates for heart transplants. And I think, I don't ever like to say we were first, but I think, I don't know of anybody who else early on pointed this out, that the transplant industry was gravely injured also and was probably on the way out.
Yeah.
Here's Dr. Makis. Children's hearts destroyed by COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, their heart transplants are not going well. Major complications everywhere, says Dr. Makis. Transplant medicine is a complete disaster. mRNA vaccine-induced cardiac deterioration is often very drastic, requiring a transplant within weeks after a mild myocarditis or mild cardiomyopathy or a mild cardiac arrest. So you're on the transplant list right away. 12-year-old L.A. boy was a COVID-19 vax recipient. His California parents trusted the system and made sure he was jabbed. All right? This previously 100% healthy boy with no family history of heart attacks, heart issues at all, who got the mRNA jabs, got myocarditis, had cardiac arrest, was on life support for a month, got a heart transplant, and then died of complications. Blood clots, brain hemorrhage in August of 2023. He got a spiked heart.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this go? Where does this all go? Heart transplants are now, organ transplants are off the list, right?
Just like blood transfusions,
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
The blood is crawling with spike, crawling with mRNA, we know that, and God knows what else. LNPs.
Oh, they're barely screening it now for anything. But
no,
the most worrisome thing would be, the synthetic mRNA that's now contaminating all of the blood of people who've gotten the vax.
All of them. I would consider it unscreened. It's that bad. And the Red Cross knows it. They don't give a damn.
No.
It's all about money. Money. Okay, what do you want to do? We have a couple of minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes left for readers. There are a couple that I'd like you to do if you remember which ones we talked about. They're really good. Woman in a car with vaxxed people, if you can find that one.
Yeah, we've got some shedding horror stories. Okay.
Go ahead.
It has been 2 years and 3 months since I gave my Pfizer-jabbed neighbors a ride with the windows almost all the way up. I still have headaches every day, sometimes eye floaters. I now cannot see anything up close anymore. My period hasn't been the same in months. Some months I have two or even three. My fingers on my left hand go numb while sleeping and when waking up. Some issues did go away, but Pfizer shedding is very real. I tried everything. I even had 11 IV treatments and spent over $2,000. Please stay out of cars, buses, and very small rooms with the jabbed. It is very dangerous. I am 47. I thought I was going to live a great life, but no longer, since I gave my Pfizer-jabbed neighbors a ride.
If that sounds excessive to you, that's your call. We don't find it excessive at all. We've run across and presented countless stories of a similar nature. One ride in a car with vaxxed neighbors with the windows nearly rolled up, and this woman's life is wrecked.
Yeah, I've
games?
Seen other
Go ahead.
Stories.
Yeah.
We've got a couple more here.
Go ahead.
Take on those.
Yeah.
Okay, another one says, my mother died after her 3 times jabbed neighbor and my sister stayed for a week. She was unvaxxed. She had never had COVID or went anywhere. They only had those two as visitors. My mother couldn't breathe and died a few weeks later.
That's incredible.
Mm.
Here's another one. I never had a single headache until around 30 Halloween trick-or-treaters right around COVID shot season last fall. I immediately had shooting stars, thunderclap pain for 10 days. It was brutal. I finally had an MRI, steroids, and it calmed down some. It literally was constantly frightening. Shooting stars in my head for 10 days. The shedding is no joke. I don't care if anyone else calls it real or not. it is 100% real to me.
Yeah.
Next.
Hi, all. I'm new to this channel and wondering if anyone has had similar symptoms. I am unvaxxed, lived with unvaxxed, and was very health conscious. I was probably at the peak of my life's fitness right before this happened. 6 weeks ago, I went out for a special event, and a couple days later, I had a strange pressure that I never experienced before in my head. A couple days later, the pressure felt like it was moving down along my vagus nerve, and the far end became a painful spot in my back. It has gotten increasingly worse. I can barely get out of bed. I discovered I had a tongue deviation and could not talk properly, which the internet said was usually evidence of a stroke or a blood clot. Now I'm starting to lose my vision in my right eye. Jeez. I cannot sleep at all. I'm very weak, and the pain has moved to other organs, the spleen area, liver, heart. Beyond distressing, I am writing my will today. Can you tell me if this sounds like shedding? I'm sorry I could not go through all the past posts because my concentration is nowhere near it where it was. And for anyone who has experienced something similar, have you found anything at all successful in reversing it? Thanks in advance.
Wow. Again, just to reiterate the first part, hi all, I'm new to this channel and wondering if anyone has had similar symptoms. I'm unvaxxed, lived with unvaxxed, and very health conscious. I was probably at the peak of my life's fitness right before this happened. 6 weeks ago, I went out for a special event, obviously a concert or a crowded event somewhere. And a couple of days later, it all began, and you just heard it all. Please take shedding at least under advisement if you don't take it seriously. It's deadly serious business. And this woman was at the peak of my life's physical fitness and health right before that happened to her. So don't fall for the mask chaos. Masks, N95 masks, when used properly, will give you added protection, period. Put gloves on when you go into the store. Just get some simple cotton gloves and put them on. If anybody looks at you, look right back at them. Your life, take care of it. All right, anything else to add here? We could do another hour easily.
I don't know. You want to squeeze one more? Do we have time?
Go ahead, real fast.
All right.
Go ahead.
Another one. I am unvaxxed, and I usually do not go out in crowds. Almost a year ago, I went to a college football game and was so sick for a couple weeks afterwards. I have my own theory. I think 5G is weaponized and they use it at events with large crowds. I recovered from that. Interesting you should mention the eye. I have had significant vision problems in my right eye for a little over a year after visiting a very crowded beach where I noticed a closed-circuit camera and cell towers. It has not improved nor gotten any worse. Very annoying, and I can no longer drive at night. I have a big spider-like spot in the center of my vision. Again, I think it's radiation. It could even be from cell phone and laptop usage, as I spent a lot of time on those devices. I am going to try to visit a remote place soon for a few days to see if my symptoms improve.
Story after story. They are endless. Mm. Thank you. We got to run. Very,
All
very
right.
important material.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right, we're going to roll and come right back after the top of the hour.